Yeah. Yeah, we believe in giving tithe minimum. So whatever comes in, we tithe 10% and more to how God leads us to do that. And so the elders and the board decide that and pray about it, and God leads us. So, yeah, we support these five primary ministries. It doesn't mean we don't give money to those when we hear a need, which is what we're called to do, which, ironically enough, is what I'm called to preach on. I never preach. I don't like preaching on money, but it's absolutely necessary. It's, believe it or not, I said this last time I preached on money, which was probably a long time ago. It's one of the main topics Jesus talks about.
That's right.
Finances, kingdom finances. And this verse up here, wow, I spent the whole week in this verse and ripping it apart in the Greek. It's phenomenal. It's like, I can't even emphasize how much, you know, God is able. I guess the preach is coming on already, but if you just stop there, you could preach on all, for eternity on that, right? God is able. And I want to ask you this morning,
yeah.
Is your God able?
Amen.
Do you believe that? In every single situation, is he able?
Yes.
You know what's going on in the world. I don't need to regurgitate it, but it's not a pleasant world to live in right now in North America, especially Canada, you know, with all the tariffs and the economic craziness that's going on, the fear-mongering that's going on,
right.
That the economy is about to crash and we're heading into recession and all this stuff. I mean, that's what happens when the news broadcasts that, people react, and then they tank the economy,
right.
Because of their reaction, even though the economy might not be tanking. And so we're not of this world.
Amen.
We live in a different world, the
Amen.
Kingdom of God, and we are governed by different principles. And so we should not be in fear. We should be trusting God. And God's economy is totally different. It's upside down. Okay, God's kingdom is upside down. You've heard that probably a lot. The reality is, here's the premise, okay? I'm not a prosperity preacher, so this is going to sound really strange, but God wants to prosper you financially.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the world.
Yeah.
Here's how he does it. Give it away.
Yep.
Okay? Give it away. So I want to take you through these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, which should not be two chapters. It should be one chapter. They flow right in. There's no break. It's just like one chapter. I'm going to read out of the New Living. I really want you to get this. I'm going to make it really simple to understand. And I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians 1.
I thought you were reading
2 Corinthians 8, 1.
Oh, okay.
He says, 2 Corinthians 8, 1, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. So right off the bat, we're talking about grace. What is grace? This gift of God, this supernatural ability of God to provide and give of himself and of his resources and to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So here we go. Are you ready? This is a New Living. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Mm-hmm. There's a great need in the churches in Jerusalem. And the word has gotten out to the other churches in northern Greece and Macedonia. And Paul's writing to the Corinthians who are in southern Greece. He's saying, guys, I want you to give. And I want you to have the Macedonian churches as an example for your giving. And here's what happens when you give. Our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem are struggling. Probably great persecution going on, and the enemy's attacking the churches and driving people out and scattering the saints. And so there's a great need, and we need to meet it because we are the body of Christ. And when something happens to that member of the body, it happens to us. Okay. And so he says, they're being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor in Macedonia, but they are also filled with abundant joy. How is that possible to be poor and joyful at the same time when many of us, even though we have so much, can't
right.
find that
right.
point of joy, right? Because joy is not from what we own or what's happening in our life. Joy is a constant in Christ. It's a fruit of living in Christ. which has overflowed in rich generosity. Their poverty and their joy is overflowing in giving. Verse 3, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. They did it of their own free will. Verse 4, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers for Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Wow. That's the first thing. In anything you do, am I serving God? Am I serving the Lord? Am I, in everything I do, Paul says in Colossians and other letters, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it for God first, that he might be glorified. They gave themselves to the Lord. I'm serving the Lord because he's my Lord and Master. This is what he requires of me. That's why they're doing it. Just as God wanted them to do. So what does he do? We've urged Titus to encourage your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry. Corinthians, this is what Macedonians are doing. We're sending Titus to you so that you will do the same. You promised to do it. Now do it, since you excel in so many ways in your faith. This message is about faith, okay? If I really have faith in God, what will I do with my money? Your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. You guys, you're an amazing church. You got all these things happening. People are speaking in tongues. There are prophecies. There's all healings. Everything's going on in your church. But I want you to excel in this one thing, give. I'm not commanding you to do this, okay? But I'm testing how genuine your love is. This is really powerful. Faith always expresses itself through love. One of the ways is how we spend our money for the Lord. Okay, is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know, the generous grace, there it is again, it's always out of the giving of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he might make you rich. Now here's the point. I'm going to say it early and I'll repeat it often. God blesses you so you can bless others. There's a fount pouring out of God's throne room for the saints. And we are conduits or river. The lake is up there. We're the river. And the river goes out and feeds and nourishes. And the glory goes back to God. And as he pours out, we give away. So, and the more we give away, the more he pours out. Okay? That's going to change you pretty radically if you grab a hold of that.
Right.
All of us, pretty radically. Here is my advice. Now, you will not see the word tithe in here. This is not a tithing message, okay? Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. You made a promise last year. Now, finish it. You were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now, you should finish what you started. Let that eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched by now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for you. I only mean that there should be some equality.
There you go.
Right? Those who have lots give away to those who don't have. Right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later they will have plenty and can share with you when you need.
Right.
In this way things will be equal. As the scripture says, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. So show them your love and prove to all the churches that are boasting about you is justified. Okay, that's chapter 8. Just an exhortation to be like the Macedonians. Give away. He's going to get even more, I think, in your face, which I really like. I don't need to write to you about this ministry, 9:1, of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help. I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. You ever experience that? You see a need, you hear about a need, maybe even today God is speaking to you about sowing into one of these ministries. And great Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get excited to give. And then like a week and you don't give, and 2 weeks and you don't give. And And then you completely forget. Oh, well, God will use somebody else. He's saying, guys, you promised to give. Now I'm reminding you, you're supposed to give. I'm not going to tell you how much, but you made a promise. Right? It's kind of like, not to take this too extreme, but Ananias and Sapphira, right? When they sell their houses to give. Everybody's doing that, right? Barnabas sold his house to give to the ministry of the saints, to the needs. And Ananias and Sapphira don't. They make a promise. Well, we're going to give so much of our house sale to the needs of the saints, and then they don't. I don't want you to end up like Ananias and Sapphira. Don't feel pressure. This is not about a giving. This is about walking in the blessing of God. Okay. I'm sending these brothers, verse 3, to be sure you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you were ready after all I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promise is ready, but I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Okay, so I'm sending some brothers to collect the collection that you said you were going to give, just like the Macedonians, and they're on their way, and they're going to collect. And when you get it together to give them, make sure you give it to them. Don't hold it back. Make sure you give what you promised to give. And here's the principle. Verse 6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Very simple. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. If you sow a little, you're only going to get a little. It's a law of the kingdom, okay? If you give a lot of seed in the ground, the ground's going to produce a lot of fruit, a lot of harvest. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Okay? It's totally up to you. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And here's the promise. It's a phenomenal promise. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Whatever you sow, you reap. Whatever you give will return to you. Even more so, if you're faithful. Here's my kind of translation of the Greek, because it's, when you read it, it's like, wow, God is just bang, 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 all. Just like five in a row. God is able to make all grace to you, that always, having all sufficiency in all things, you may have abundance for all good deeds.
Yeah. Read it again.
God is able to make all grace to you, that always, having all sufficiency, which literally means blessing, all things you may have abundance for all good deeds.
No ambiguity there.
But there is ambiguity. Because if that's true, if it's true that when we give, we release the grace of God in our lives and we receive more, we should not be afraid of anything.
Right.
Anything. When God says give, you give. Doesn't matter how much, right? It's always led by the Spirit of God. The tithing system in the Old Testament is very complicated. It's like 23% of your income, and it went to the temple and the priests. And friends, you would go nuts if you had to calculate 10% of this and 10% of that, and you know, all these little things you had to take 10% of. It would drive you crazy. And that was only to the temple. Then you had to give another 10% for this and another 3% for this, and it's like, okay, this is crazy. It's bondage. Giving like that is bondage. And I don't want to put you in bondage. I just want you to be free to experience the grace of God. That's the point of it.
That's good. Okay?
I don't want anybody to fear about giving or what they're going to do with their money. And some of you live in fear. I'm just going to say it out. Man, we wouldn't be preaching this sermon if there wasn't people who needed to hear it, right? But in this room, if you're experiencing, I'm like hanging on to my money because things are going to get really tight, and I know economy is going to tank and it's going to go crazy. So God wants you to know something. If you want to prosper, okay, this is prosperity, not like the prosperity preachers. This is God's prosperity. If you want to prosper, give away.
Right.
Okay? So let me keep reading. The scripture says They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Four, and watch, he says this three times. So I want you to see in verse 8, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Why does he give? So you can give away.
Yeah.
Does he say it once? No. For God, verse 10, is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. He'll give you to give away. That's two. Does he say it three times? He sure does. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Your giving will cause other people joy.
Right.
Your giving will cause God joy. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Did you see this? Verse 7. God loves a person who gives cheerfully, or God loves a cheerful giver. Is that like an extra level of love from God? Because God always loves, right? But why would Paul write that? Like, is he saying that to those who live generously, really, they are reflecting me? And I love people who do that. I love people who reflect me. And I'm just going to pour more love on them. Why? Because it's love that motivates us to give in the first place. Right? What is 1 Corinthians 13? We saw yesterday. It says, if I give all my money to the poor but have not love, just like clang, clang, clang.
Yeah.
Right? I'm nothing. Eventually, I'm nothing.
Just like a clock.
When we give out of love, God gets glory. And he loves us to give him glory. Okay. So this is all through the scriptures. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can give. As a result, verse 13 of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you're obedient to the good news of Christ. Wow. How does that work? I will demonstrate my obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ by how much I give. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave it all. He's a giving God. God so loved the world that he gave.
Right.
And so me living and giving and sacrificially giving whatever God says to give is proof that I'm transformed by the gospel. Because the world does not do this.
No.
They give out of their extra. They give out of their abundance.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're not motivated to glorify God. We give it for a totally different reason. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for the gift, too wonderful for words. What an amazing passage. Like, you just spend time going through this passage and say, wow, this is totally transformative. It's totally opposite to the way the world. You invest and you get dividends back.
Yeah.
Maybe, if the economy's good.
Right.
Not in God's kingdom. You give to the needs he puts on your heart and he promises to supply abundantly. Okay, there's no caveats, there's no ifs, if the economy's good. So let me take you just through some scriptures. I'm not going to prolong this. I'm just going to read them out. I'll name the scripture, and I'm going to read them out. And I wrote them all in the New Living, so there's no misunderstanding. Someone already said this. Luke 6:38.
Yeah.
If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more. It's like
running over.
Put it in, and then shake it down so there's more room, and then keep shaking it so you can get as much in as you can. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. You cannot give God. You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
The more you give, the more God will give you.
Right.
He's trusting you. You've proven to him that you can be trusted with what he gives you. Jesus said in Acts 20, which is actually a passage on giving, a little section there, I have been, Acts 20:35, Paul says, I have been a constant example of how you can help the poor by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed. The scriptures, the word here actually means blessed in this passage in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Okay? God will generously provide. He will bless you. There's a blessing released when you give in faith and love. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the rest at the best part of everything your land produces. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. honor the Lord with your wealth. Give it to the Lord. What, you know, not 10%. Don't hear that. I'm not even going to tell you what to give to you. It's totally between you and God. But here's the thing. Make sure that you don't give it out of duty or begrudgingly. Give it with joy. Give it. Be a cheerful giver. God, thank you that you are allowing me to partner with you, and you give me a number, and I'm giving it away. I'm trusting you. Have you met people like this? There's people like this in this room. I've met people like this. They're just walking around with wads full of money, just hearing the Holy Spirit say, give it away. Yeah. It's a radical life. And it's good to be beside those people when they get here from the Lord. But. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. How do you get the blessing of the Lord? Obedience. Listening to the Holy Spirit, right? Blessing always follows obedience. Whatever God says, you do. Not grudgingly. Not without doubt. Person who doubts won't receive anything from the Lord. Really, Lord? Really? It's tough to do. It's tough to do. I've experienced this when I'm walking down the street and someone says, God says, you know that money in your pocket? I want you to give away. Open your wallet and give them the $20 bill. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Sometimes in our mind comes, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, right. What are they going to do with it? It doesn't matter what they do with it.
Right.
Right? And that's a tough part. Proverbs 11:24. It is possible to give freely and become more wealthy. How is that possible? Because it's God's kingdom. But those who are stingy will lose everything. Ouch. The generous prosper and are satisfied. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Great scriptures, eh? If there was one or two, you'd say, yeah, that's a cool principle. Maybe I should apply that. But when it's over and over and over again, all through, I could take you to the book of Exodus. I could take you to 2 Chronicles. God just continues to pour out his favor and abundance when his people are obedient to give what he says to give. Proverbs 19:17. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. Proverbs 28:27, whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but a curse will come upon those who close their eyes to poverty. I should probably put a little caveat in here. What's the caveat? Any questions on that particular thing? Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Bill Gates and his concept of charity.
Okay, so there's lots of philanthropists out there who give money to many, many, many causes, but it's not the Lord, it's just out of their wealth. Anything else? Can you see any problems with those verses?
The caveat is within it's in the body of Christ.
Exactly. It's within the body of Christ. Remember, we've been going through faith, and every book that Paul has written is to the church of Jesus Christ. There should be no needy persons among you, he says, right? Acts 2, there was at the end of Acts 2 and Acts 4 and Acts 5, there's no needy people among them. They're supplying each other's needs. They're selling property to make sure that there's equality in the group. Which is really radical living, but that's what we're called to. It's not necessarily giving to every single poor person you meet or every single ministry that's ministering to the poor. You need to hear from God.
Right.
Okay. Don't be moved by emotion. Yeah. Okay. When you see that starving child on TV, which is what they want to do, they want to make to move to your appeal to your emotions, not the Spirit of God inside you. Right. We got to be led by the Spirit. This whole passage is about living in the Spirit. Yes, mother.
Why did you give some of your time for a needy organization?
Well, sure, and it's not just money, and I want to emphasize that. It's not just money. Like, we give. We give as we're led to give.
Yeah.
But I always say, if I'm going to give my time to a ministry that ministers to the marginalized, the poor people, or drug addicts or anything, just like Steve and Carla, it's going to be Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. It's only for one reason. My good deeds are taking place, and that is to glorify my Father by preaching Christ to these individuals who will actually take them, once they turn to him and embrace him, out of their misery and set them on their feet and give them life.
Right. Otherwise, it's just social justice.
And we often, like, there are many ministries that meet the needs of the world, but they neglect the church, right? We are, I've said this many times, the witness of the church is how we love each other and how we look after each other. Faith always is exemplified through love. So how do you demonstrate that we are a loving community in Christ? By how we minister to one another. And then the world will see. By the way, you know what prompted me to also preach this message? Like, it's just coming right now. There have been two bills passed in Parliament to do away with charitable status. Okay? And they're going before the first, second, third reading, whatever they go. They're in that process of being possibly approved. Now, we have ministries, you know, Evangelical Church of Canada, Evangelical Fellowship of Canada is working with parliamentarians to make sure that bill doesn't go through, but it can go through. Why? Because in an economy problem, this is a side note, but think about it, in an economy problem, there's billions of dollars sitting in real estate taxes, churches own, in ministries. If you could tax the money they're getting, the revenue of the government would go way up. So because they're struggling financially, they want to glean from every single person, every single opportunity to gain taxes, they want to glean from. And churches are a big one. Religious organizations are a big one. And so if this bill goes through, you won't be able to write off your giving anymore. Exactly.
Right.
So this is the mentality, right? And I hope that's not the motivation for your giving anyway, right? Because if it is, it's the wrong motivation. But I tell people that. Well, would you give without a tax receipt?
Yeah. I think that is important that God wants us to give for His glory, not so that we can get a tax receipt or any other payment.
That's right.
It's a nice bonus. It really is a nice bonus.
It's nice to get a nice
however,
fat check.
That's
however,
not why we get it. Yeah.
Well, right. He'll find other ways to prosper us and give things to us for giving.
And
money.
This is what the message is about. And this is part of the message is, if the world shifts and we become like persona non grata, right? Like, we don't have the favor we used to have, which is probably coming very soon. Are we still going to be obedient to the Lord?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. You have to ask yourself that. That's why God wants this message preached, because the days are coming, and they're coming quickly, when we won't be the nice people who are doing all these great ministries for society. We'll actually be the ones who are convicting people, you know.
I think it's also recognizing at that point that, like, helping us in that, getting to that mindset is recognizing that one is not really my money,
that's
it's
right.
not really my house
right.
or my clothes. It all belongs to the Lord. And Jesus said it, there are things that belong to Caesar, given to Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's not even our battle to face because our God is not faced by whatever the government does that He's put in place. To begin with,
that's right.
for His own glory.
Yeah,
so those things really are not even in, they shouldn't be something that moves us towards one way or the other.
That's
it
right.
should be cause to go back to our Father and say, hey, Father, this is what's happening now. How do you want me to respond?
That's right. That's exactly right.
By faith.
Trusting that. And we have to pay taxes. We should never not pay taxes.
That's right.
Because in Romans 13, it says, you know, God uses the government to meet the needs of society. So we have an obligation.
That's,
yes.
In our house church, we were studying the book of Ruth, and as we looked at some of the principles the Jewish people used to live under, was that they didn't own their land, right? That it was God's land, and they used it. And so when they gave from them, some of it was actual fruit of the land, like vegetables or whatever, grain, they gave it because it was all God's. And 7 years later, if they had were leasing the land,
right.
they'd give it back. So when you look at the way the Jew God set up the kingdom, is that He owns everything, but we've lost that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And so we're now at the point where He's given me the job, or He's given me the money, or He's given me the ability. Yeah, we have, but it's still all His.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And He's still going to take care of it all.
Matthew 25, there's a text there. You know the text well. But it's what the master says to those who invest their money or their talent, whatever. The master was full of praise. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. That's Matthew 5:21.
Yeah? We weren't talking about that, about investing, but Investing could be your time too, is that correct? I mean, I'm just...
Yeah, we're not limited to money. This is not a sermon about money, but it is. In this particular case, it's about money.
It is about money.
It's everything. Like, this particular message is about finances, yes.
In 2 Corinthians.
Money is just a representation of what we did with our time. If you spend 40 hours a week working, they give you money, and when you give some of that away, I mean, you have to make a living, you have to, you know. And so that's just a representation of what you did with your time. I had to work that out as a homemaker. I didn't make any money.
Right.
So I had to figure out, what am I going to do with my time directly in order to give back to the Lord? And so money is just a representation of what you did with your time or your investment or whatever. It's
That's
just
right.
a representation.
But there is, it always comes down to what you're going to do with your wallet or your purse, right? Ultimately. Because the love of money is the root of all
your
evil.
Heart.
So
yeah.
It's a foothold for many, many Christians in the church.
Sure.
You know, most people love Jesus and have no problem giving whatever God says. And tithe is just a minimum. But there are many people who don't understand kingdom finances and they hold on to everything, right? But it's not just money. Let me be clear about that. I've said this many times, you know, if someone wants to use my truck to pick up something, I should not say, okay. No, it should be, sure, bud. It's not my truck anyway. Go ahead, use it. Right? It should be like that. I shouldn't hold on to anything because everything God has given me is for His glory. Right, my truck, my whatever it is. Like I've been telling guys, I'm sure everybody in here has a saw, skill saw. We don't need skill saw. Like we don't need 12 skill saws in one shirt, right? Unless we're all working at the same time, well, go and help that person to get it done quickly and borrow their saw. Right? Like all that stuff, it's how we do. I mean, we obviously can't share clothes, but we do share clothes in this.
We do.
See, and we've been sharing clothes and furniture and all kinds of stuff in this church for years. So. I just think if God says give it, give it. I told you before about my truck story. I won't share that again, but it's amazing that whatever you sow, you reap. You give a truck, you get a truck. Right?
It's well, just it's the not way it always is. Equal value, however.
But it will be abundance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To, if God can trust you, and this is the passage in Matthew 25, right? He says in verse 23, the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibility. Let's celebrate together. Can I trust you with what I've given you to reflect my glory to give it away? If I ask you to give it away, doesn't matter what it is. This text talking about finances. You can't send a skill saw down to Greece. That's not going to help them. They need money. They need finances to buy food for just the basics, right? This is not New Testament teaching. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, give freely without begrudging, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some among you who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share your resources freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. Okay? It's about looking after the community of Christ. Now, here's a wonderful text. People love to preach on tithing. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Okay, that's what he says. And that's exactly what it says here.
And together, the Lord is coming out of telling them, you're cursed with a curse because you're robbing me.
You're robbing. You're not giving me what I ask of you to give. So, and there's this fear. The longer you go on with the Lord, and maybe, you know, as you get older and you start realizing, okay, I'm retiring soon. I got to hang on to him. I got to build up my nest egg. That's not the way to do it.
Right.
The message is this. If you want God to prosper you, give away. Give away. Okay? And this is a message on faith. Mm-hmm. Do I trust? This is where it all starts. Is God able?
Right.
If my God is not able, then I need to go back to the Word and read all the passages where God is able to supply everything I need according to His riches in Christ. My God will do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine according to His riches, you know, in Ephesians 3:20. Like, do I really believe the Scripture? Even beyond that, do I really believe God who wrote the Scripture? This is what we're challenged with. Remember, I'm preaching on faith this year. Do I have faith to take God at his word? If God says give, even if he said give it all away, do I have faith to believe that he will supply what I need? Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Don't even worry. God will meet all your needs. Every single need you have will be met. Right? That doesn't mean be foolish. Like, he's asked us to work. He's asked us to steward wisely. Like, we can't ignore all the other scriptures. But we need to be obedient in giving to reflect his heart. Okay? And it's not about the amount. It's not about that. Don't even hear this like I'm supposed to give. Yeah, all it's saying is, because it's a message on faith, not on giving, really, do I trust God that if he tells me to give, I'm going to give? If he tells me to go down to Guatemala and help build this ministry for 3 months,
right,
that I can do that,
right,
and he's going to supply.
And when we do that, when God speaks to us and we're obedient, right, and he gives us everything that we need to be able to do it, I've experienced this many times over the years. There is such a joy that, you know, it's like you can't wait to give because you can't wait to see how the other person is going to respond and be blessed and praise God. And it's just a supernatural thing to
me. It is. And I should probably preach a sermon on receiving because that's sometimes just as hard when somebody gives you a gift. And then you
yes,
feel you got to pay them back.
Yes, you should preach on that.
There you go.
I know I've talked a lot this morning, and I add one more thing. We watched a video at a retreat maybe 30 years ago, and it was about giving our best. It was about a low IQ man in the church, and the church kind of looked after him. But the new pastor came, and he was at his house, the man always dressed ratty. And anyway, he said he wanted to buy him a suit. And the man said, "Oh, I have lots." And he opened his cupboard, and it was all secondhand, old, out-of-style suits. And the preacher realized, God's calling me to give my best. If I'm going to do unto this stranger or this brother or sister as to the Lord, why would I give second best? Jesus, God gave his best. He gave his own best. I need to make sure. It was just a real call for me when I give. Am I giving my best? Am I giving my first fruit? I don't know how big the harvest is going to be, but am I going to give my first fruit what I decided ahead of time and let God look after the rest? But that idea of a cupboard full of used suits and a man saying, I don't need that, and a pastor saying, I need to give the best. So he went out in that story, he went out and bought him a brand new suit. The man wore it and was, anyway, we need to give our best because God gave his.
Yeah, that's interesting. What if, let me flip this around, because I got suits in my closet I never wear anymore.
This is what Mike and I do.
Exactly.
No, let me challenge you.
But what if God told the guy to give his best, the receiver his best suit, and he went to his closet and gave this old ratty suit, would the pastor, whoever, would have received it and worn it?
Yeah. I'm not responsible for anyone else's.
No, but what I'm saying is, he gave his best, right?
Yeah,
everybody's best is different.
Yeah, everybody's best might be different, yeah.
I'm just going to close with Philippians 4. I'm going to start in verse 11. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Is that verse talking about provision? It is. I can do all things. I can go through any situation God wants me to go through, whether I have a ton of stuff or nothing. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. This might be, by the way, the church in Macedonia. Philippi was up in Macedonia. It might be the church is talking about in this text, 2 Corinthians. Nevertheless, you have done well to share it with me in my affliction, and you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone, or even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. There it is again. You give to the ministry of Christ according to how God leads you, and it says there's more provided into your account so you can continue to give. But I have received everything in full and have abundance, and I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. See, there's the gift, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing. And because of your giving, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see how it works? I just want you to get this. Do not fear what's coming up. Don't fear anything when it comes to finances. My God promises if I'm faithful, he will supply. Amen. And the more I give, the more he'll supply. Has to be his leading, okay? People of God, we are not of this world. We operate on different value system, a different level totally. The world says, hoard your money, save, accumulate. Yeah. God says, give it away and I'll prosper you. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to save and we're not supposed to invest. It doesn't say, God says that in other scriptures. Yeah, we're supposed to steward wisely. However, this hits, giving hits the immediate now. What am I going to do with what God has given me right now? Okay? Am I going to be obedient? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to wrap up. Does anybody want to say anything? I'm going to open the floor for someone else to pray right now. Who would like to pray for us as a congregation into this situation?
Father, we praise your name. There's so much truth spoken this morning about your kingdom. If there is anything, Father, please cover us with your mantle of wisdom. Continue revealing in our hearts and in our minds through this week and the days ahead all these truths about how you operate and why you have set up things the way you have. Mm-hmm. Let us surrender our hearts to you and make a decision in our mind to do our best to hear from you and follow you and be obedient. Father, that acknowledging that money is just a tool, mm-hmm. one of many that you have given us, and that everything belongs to you. Let us, Father, be of one heart and one mind in deciding that we are truly going to say, Father, it is all yours.
Yes.
How will you have me steward and manage this? How do we bring glory to your name? Let us walk in faith and in your joy, which is our strength. Fearing nothing and being grateful about all things and praying all the time about all things. Thank you for making us generous, for sharing all we have amongst the brethren.
Yes.
The glory be to your name.